So the shear is called Rain, Rain, Go Away. It's probably somewhere in the source packet. So hi, my name's Sarah. So I'm Sarah. Recently moved to Chicago this year. My husband, Yair Lipman, he's one of the new color fellows here. Yeah, sure. And so I'm very excited to learn with you all today. And wanted to just say thank you to all the sponsors. I don't know if this year in particular is sponsored, but there's been a lot of work and effort put into this, and I've kind of seen a little bit of that in behind the scenes, so I'm very grateful. So today we're going to be learning about a couple things. What we call in halakha, she'elat geshamim and hazkarat geshamim. So you probably know them better as saying mashiv haruach umarid hageshem and adding v'tein tel matar lebracha. So mashiv haruach is our hazkarat geshamim, is when we're mazkir and we mention Hashem's power for rain. We say that in the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. And v'tein tel matar lebracha, that's she'elat geshamim, when we ask for rain in Baruch Aleinu. And the particular question we're looking at here is what you do when you're in a community which doesn't seem to match up with the prescribed dates for making these additions. So if you haven't noticed already, I'm from Australia. So this is kind of a personal thing that like I was always on my mind when davening. I'm not going to spoil exactly how they do it in Australia. That we'll get to at the end. But this is kind of just a reason why it's always been something on my mind and something that's been important to me. So we'll start with source one. We're going to go look at the original sources in the Mishnayot and the Gemara for these halakha, and then we'll look through to see what the Rishonim and later on the Akronim had to say on the question. So source one, the Gemara Masechet Tanit, the first Mishnah. Me'ema time maskirin gevurat geshamim. When are we maskir gevurat geshamim? When do we say mashavurah? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, miyom tav harishon shalchag. Rabbi Eliezer says from the first days of Sukkot. That's when we start. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Miyom Tav Ha'acharon Shalchag, from the last days of Sukkot. So from Shmini Atzeret onwards. And as you know, that's how we pass in today. Amar la Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Yoshua, who holds that it's Shmini Atzeret, says to Rabbi Eliezer, Ha'il ve'ein geshamim ela siman klal abachad, lama hu mazkir? Since rain is just a siman klala over Sukkot, why would we start mentioning it? You know, over Sukkot, we have to sit outside in the Sukkot. We have to do all these mitzvot that involve being outside. Rashi says that it's not only kind of like a physical convenience to have sunny days over Sukkot, but it could actually be like a spiritual symbol of Hashem's rejecting our wanting to serve him. When Hashem brings rain on Sukkot, Rashi says that that's kind of like a king who's rejecting his servant's service. He says he has no interest in it. He kind of like takes the cup that the servant brings and like pours it back on his face. So Rabbi Yeshua is pointing out this concern here. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer tries to defend himself. Afani lo amarti lishol. I didn't say we have to ask for rain. Ela lahazkir, just to mention rain. Mashiv haruach amarid hageshem ba'anata. And then Rabbi Yeshua has another retort. Im kein lo alami hei maskir. Okay, so if we're not asking for rain right now, then we may as well just mention it all year round. Why do we have to wait for the specific season of rain? So there's more that kind of goes on in this back and forth, and there's another Mishnah which talks about the difference between She'elah and Hazkara. But we can see here that clearly Rabbi Yoshua has this concern of mentioning rain at a time that is not beneficial for us, at a time that it's that could be a siman klal, a sign of curse. And now in the second source, we're going to learn about She'elah Kashemim, when we start saying V'tein Tal Matar Lebracha. So the Mishnah says, Begimel B'mar Cheshvan Sha'olin Et Hagshamim. So we start asking for rain on the third of Mar Cheshvan. Rashi says that that's technically around the time when the first rain should be expected in Israel. Rabban Gamliel Amer, B'shiv Abba. He says, Rabban Gamliel says, no, actually the seventh of Mar Cheshvan. Tet Vav Yom Achar Achad, 15 days after Sukkot. Kadesh She'agia Acharon She B'Yisrael L'Nahar Prat. So that the people coming from the farthest edges of the region should be able to return back and have a smooth journey and not have to be kind of interrupted by this rain. So Rabban Gamliel is making the point that even though at certain times of year it may technically be better to have rain, we want to wait and stall our requests for a time when we actually want it and we actually need it in the moment. It's not just about the agricultural seasons as a whole, but it's about when we practically want to and are asking for this. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Halacha Karama Gamliel. So we paskin like Rabban Gamliel. Yes, we do wait, and we allow people the chance to get home before we start asking for rain. Tanya, we bring a Braita. Chananya Amer, Uva Gala, Ad Shishim Bitkufa. In the Gala, which is Babel, outside of Israel, we wait until Shishim Bitkufa. That's 60 days after the autumnal equinox. It's kind of a meteorological point in the year, when in Babel, they would actually need rain there. Rashi says it's because Babel doesn't really need rain as much. They're in a lower place. So for whatever reason, they wait until this particular point when it would actually be beneficial to have rain. Amar lo Rav Huna bar Chiya, Amar Shmua halacha kechananya. So Chananya is also who we paskin by for Babel. So we have these dates for Sheila, which is the 7th of Mar Cheshvan for Israel, and Shishim Bitkufa, 60 days after the equinox for Babel. And clearly there's a concern here raised by both Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua in the first source that, you know, when we daven, if we at least purport to believe that our davening means something, our davening might have an effect, then we should be careful what we wish for. That's what we see coming through in these Tanaim and Amarim. So you could turn the page to the Gemara in Tanit. It's a later Gemara in the same Masechet. And this is the first example that we see. It's an example in the Gemara itself of a community wondering what it should do when it realizes that its rainfall needs are a little different. So just for a bit of background, the question they're going to ask, the question these people in the community are going to ask, is whether they should add this tefillah, add v'tein tolam atar l'bracha in barich aleinu, so as we normally would do in our official tefillah change, or if they should kind of only make an unofficial change and add it in their own personal davening in Shamea Tefillah. So Rashi says, when you want to add something personal into your davening, and when you have like a particular request or a particular circumstance, Shamea Tefillah is where you go for that. Let's learn the source together, and we'll further explain what they're asking. Shafalei b'nei Ninveh l'Rebbe. So the people of Ninveh asked Rebbe, so this is Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, Kigon Anan, people like us, dafil bitkufat Tammuz ba'inan mitra, who even in the month of Tammuz, so way later, way after Pesach, we still need rain. Hey chinavid, how should we practice? Ki yechidim daminan? Are we like individuals? Or karabim daminan? Or are we like a whole, a community? Ki yechidim daminan uvishamea tefila? Are we like individuals so that we should only ask for rain in our personal davening of shamea tefila? Or karabim daminan uvagir chalashanim? Or are we like a rabbin, or are we like a community, and therefore we can add this formally in our davening in Baruch Aleinu. Shalach Lahu, he responds, Ki yechidim damito uvishamea tefila. So you're like yechidim, you're like individuals, this is my advice to you, you should only add it in shamea tefila, so as an unofficial addition. So, we see this distinction now, yechidim versus rabbin. And if we kind of go into Rebbe's head, we can kind of imagine what values he's thinking about when he's tossing out between, should I say that they're individuals, or should I allow them to actually add the taint on the Tari Baruch Aleinu? On the one hand, if you're an individual, we have this principle of communal tefillah. You know, when you daven with your brothers and sisters in the same community, our prayers are seen as more powerful, perhaps. We feel more camaraderie and are more motivated to daven. We also have this negative value of Lotit Gadadu. So there's a pasuk in the Torah that says Lotit Gadadu, and one of the sources in the Gemara read that as Lotasu Agudat Agudat. Don't make little factions between yourselves, and don't have one, two baked in, batei din in the same community, like one saying one thing and the other saying another, because that causes division. But on the other hand, if they are actually considered a community, if they do have that status, then they should be davening accurately. They should be davening according to their needs. Ninveh clearly wanted their tefillah to reflect their situation. And the negative concern here as well, sheker b'tefillah, you know, lying in our tefillah, is also a very serious one. We have other examples in halakha where we change how exactly we daven to conform with reality. During the Ilah on Yom Kippur, there's a line that says, the sun is setting now, So if you actually happen to be saying the ilah after sunset, you shouldn't be saying that. So there's a halacha that you should change it to, the sun has set already. So there's other values in accuracy besides for, you know, being able to get the rain when you want. So now let's look at sources 4 and 5, where the Rambam weighs in first on our Mishnah, and then in his own Mishnah Tara, in his actual halachic codification, and what he says on that. So source 4. Ad eima kai sha'olin et hagshamim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ad she yavar, etc. Bishlosha b'mrachesh'van sha'olin et hagshamim. So he's quoting Mishnah that we learned. V'cholzeh, so all these dates, so the 7th of Mrachesh'van versus Shishim b'tkufa, Eretz Yisrael of Aratzat Hadamatla. So this applies to Eretz Yisrael, this date of the 7th of Mar-Cheshvan. Aval b'sha'ar Aratzat, so I've bolded that word, in other lands, Aratzat, Hashela, you should add v'tein talam atar lebracha, bizman shehamatar tov v'hagun v'atar makam. V'natan atar zman ke'ilu hu shiv abu Mar-Cheshvan. So in other lands, you should daven according to when you need that, when you need the rain, and that time would be considered like your 7th of Mar-Cheshvan. There are some places that whose rains won't start until Nisan. Spoiler alert, we're going to learn about that when we come to the Southern Hemisphere. So in those places, when you ask for rain from Sukkot onwards, they're going to be negative. They're going to have negative effects. They're going to destroy the year's crop. How could these people ask for Geshem in Mar-Cheshvan? This is just lies, the ha'ibelet and deception. And this is a clear and obvious point. So this is how he understands the Mishnah in Tanit. And now we go to source 5. Places that need rain in the summer months, so places with different rainfall patterns to Israel. Kagan iye hayam harichakim, like those far off islands. Shalina hakshamim ve'etchin shehin tzrichim lahen b'shamei tefillah. They can ask for rain, but only in shamei tefillah. So they shouldn't make a formal change. Yes. Yeah, we're going to get to that idea then, yes. So right now from the Gemara, so we have to get rid of those assumptions and how are we reading the Gemara and what values seem to be at play in the Gemara, and then we'll see how Paschim kind of deal with it when there are differences in what we need and when we should daven for it. So here the Rambam says in his Mishnah Tara that you should not make this formal change and you should rather only add it in Shamei Tefillah in your personal davening. And this seeming contradiction within the Rambam is what Rush goes on to resolve and then come to his own position. So let's read 6a. So this is Rush already. We're in the Rishonim now already. Someone who's very precise in reading the Rambam, he'll find everything perfectly fine and correct and aligned. In Perish HaMishnaya, in source 4, Katab Aratzat. He mentioned Aratzat. Lefishe yesh chiluk bein Eretz Yisrael leBavel leInyan sheila b'haskara. Because we know that there is a difference between the Eretz of Yisrael and the Eretz of Bavel when it comes to asking for rain. Mizeh nilmad she'ein nikra'in rabim ela Eretz achat. Va'atam amrim bizman hatzarich lehem sheila b'birkat hashanim. From there we learn that you have to be an Eretz. You have to be a fully fledged country in order to daven for rain according to your needs. But in his codification in Mishneh Torah, katab umekamot, places. Mekamot sheim tzrichim geshamim b'imat hachama, kigon iye hayam, remote places, little communities and little locales, like far off islands. Ve'einam nikraim eretz, which are not considered a fully fledged country. B'fnei atzman, hilkach ki yechidim damo. These people are like individuals. Ve'omrim b'shamei atzvilan. They should only add it in their personal davening. So clearly the Rush thinks that, yes, we should actually still be keeping in mind when our country needs its rain, but there's just this kind of technical factor of how big your community is. And now the next few sources are going to be excerpts from the Rush's Tshuva. So he goes on, and it's a very lengthy Tshuva, where this is kind of a foundational source for a later discussion on this question of how different communities should act. It describes the Rush's journey throughout Europe and the different communities he encounters. And when he asks them, you know, how do you ask terrain? At what dates do you start saying, start making these additions? And he kind of goes on a tirade against all these communities in turn. And like, he doesn't think that they're acting appropriately. And it's kind of, it's just funny to read through. So we'll first see what he says about Germany. Mikvari amim rabim ba'ashkenaz nitaramti al shnei dvarim shera'iti shenagim b'yamim halalo. There are two practices that I've complained about. Ha'echad she'enan shalim hagshamim katikun. They don't ask for rain correctly. They don't say the teintal matara correctly. De'bavel shachanet al mayim rabim v'la ha'yutrufim gshamim ad samach l'tkofa. Babel had its own particular reasons there why it didn't need rain until Shechim B'Tkofa. Aval be'eretz Ashkenaz, Shezman Hazera hu mechetzi Tishrei ve'elach. But in Ashkenaz, when we already need rain starting from the middle of Tishrei, hadavar yadua she'em lo yerdu gshamim miyad achar Hazera shehu mitkalkel v'sheha afat ha'achbarim yachluhu kulam. We know that in Ashkenaz, if they don't already start getting rain in the middle of Tishrei, the crop is going to be ruined and all the rodents are going to come and eat up the seeds. Lama lo nase kibnei eretz Yisrael shesholin et hagshamim b'marchesh from Rabban Gamliel. Why don't we adopt Israel's dates, at least Israel's dates, where we already start asking for rain earlier b'marchesh from. B'hamin hagasheni, the second thing I'm annoyed by, shena hagim lifsak melishal umila haskir b'yom tov harishan shel Pesach. The second minhag is that they also go according to Babel's dates for stopping to ask for rain. They stop on the first day of Pesach, like we do. And we know that the most important rains for Ashkenaz happen to be from Pesach on till Shavuot, so they're stopping to ask too early. This is what he says about Germany. And next he goes on to Provence. Kesheyatzati me Ashkenaz, ve'avarti derech Provence. Shamati b'Montpellier, shehayu maskrim hagshamim b'zayin b'marcheshvan v'yashar ma'od be'nai. So this community actually did bring their practice forward to Zayin b'marcheshvan, who was very happy about this. V'amati l'chachmei Montpellier, te'ratzem li kushiyah achat. All right, you've solved one issue for me. V'le'inyan haftzaka ma'atem asim. So what do you do about stopping to offering? When do you stop? V'amro she'asim kamishnah v'yom tov harishon shel Pesach paskim. So they said, we actually do it according to the Mishnah. So we stop on the first day of the Pesach. Amarti lahem, shema ein chem tzuchim matar ben Pesach la'atzera. Don't you guys need rain between Pesach and Shavuot? Amroli, shehabei hem tzuchim. Yes, we do need a lot of rain. V'i eshar l'tvoa l'hitkayim b'lo matar. And it's actually essential for our crops that we need that rain. V'amarti lahem, I said to them, kol divarai Kasher heim tovim lamala. Everything that I've said that I wrote earlier, v'yashru ma'ad be'nehem. They were very happy to hear that they had a basis and they had the Rush telling them that it was okay. You know, that they could keep asking for rain. Ella, but shamro masha anu shalim b'shivah v'marcheshvan kachin higu chachamim harishonim. You know, our practice that we changed from shishim b'tkufa, from this date in 4th or 5th of December, and we brought it forward to the 7th of Marcheshvan, that we got permission from our older rabbis, from the earlier sages. V'al ha'havsaka lo nuchal lasot adavar b'shinui minhag im lo she'id kapsu chachmei Yisrael. But if we want to end asking for rain later, that would have to have like a whole congregation, a whole conference of rabbis, and we'd have to have them all agree to teach that in their local shuls. We would practice this way. I kind of left, and I don't know what happened there. So we see this notion of kind of needing this consensus, this very broad consensus to come together and make a formal change. And the rabbis mention a practical concern. So long as we can't have everyone agree on this, we can't make this change, because it wouldn't work out well. There'd be different factions, and there'd be infighting. It just practically wouldn't be able to work. And then he goes to Spain. This is where the Rush was based for most of his life. And then this is now the son of the Rush, kind of writing from his perspective how he saw his father advise the community there. V'hi b'shnat 5,773 l'briyat ha'olam ne'etzru hagshamim v'lo himtir kol acharech ela ma'at v'zeir. There was one year where there was a terrible drought. In the winter, no rain fell. But you quote some, they instituted a fast, l'hitchanein Hashem, l'tei matar al pnei adama, to beg Hashem to bring that rain. V'adoni avi harash, and my father the rush, haya yoshev al petach beita, he was sitting in his doorpost, v'yomar, ata haya tov la'arer hadavar, asher me'olam tamati alav. Now, I think is a good time to raise my concern, this thing that I've always been bugged by. Lama lo yaskir avisha lo hageshem ad shavuot, why don't we keep asking for rain until Shavuot? And they sent for the chazan and they said, you know what, don't stop asking for rain tomorrow in Musaf. Actually, keep asking for it. And they kind of did this seemingly on the down low. They didn't make a huge proclamation about it, and then we'll see what happens. But he named Rash Mitzah HaChachamim. There was a ruckus brought up by some of the rabbis, the local rabbis. Asher Lahaya Davar Be'etzatam, who didn't, who weren't kind of in agreement, who this came without their permission. They said, no, it's not right. It's not proper to do this. So where have you seen that last phrase before? It means it's a sign of curse. Does anyone remember? So this is in our first source when Rabbi Yoshua was talking about asking for rain on Sukkot. He said, it's a siman klala, it's a sign of curse. You can't ask for rain during Sukkot. So just notice the contrast of how Rabbi Yoshua, how that phrase was originally used in our Mishnah, with how it's being used here. So there, in our first source, Rabbi Yoshua was talking about davening for getting rain when they didn't want it. If they got the rain at the wrong time, that would be a sign of curse. Whereas here, the rabbis are describing the mood to start asking for rain when they want it, and calling that a sign of curse. So there's a shift from the Gemara, where the concern among the Amoraim is arriving at the correct dates for this tefillah, according to when we need it, to the Rishonim, who are working from the Gemara's conclusions of the 7th of Mar Cheshvan and Shishi B'Tkufa, and wanting to stick with that. So this kind of an ossification of these particular dates that the Gemara is given, and the rabbis, they can't move from it. It's too difficult to establish their own unique practice. You kind of see here, like, both parties are trying to earnestly figure out what the halacha is. The Rosh is motivated by what he clearly sees as the essence of the halacha, to daven for rain when you need it. He reads the Gemara, and he sees that Babel needs its own date. He sees that the Rambam says that Arasot need their own date to ask for rain. Whereas the local Rabbanim here, the later Paskin call them the Rosh's friends, the ones who are disagreeing with him, are weighing other factors. You know, there's this idea that you need a very strong reason to deviate from the particular dates set in the Gemara. And even if you want to deviate, the process of making a change could get messy, as we saw. And maybe it's not even worth making the change in the first place. Maybe these rabbis did want to daven with their brethren, or with their larger neighboring countries as well. So now, we turn to the next page. Where we start addressing the southern hemisphere. So these are already Shuvot from the Achronim, so later authorities. And we're getting to source 7. So here the Tara Chaim is addressing Brazil, the community of Brazil, and how they should daven. Klal hadvarim. Shenir'eh sheba'otam akam ha'nizkar v'she'elah in this land, so it's referring to Brazil, ein lahem lahaskir v'lish'ol geshem v'ber kadashanim v'chol hashanah. They shouldn't ask for rain at any point in the year. They should just never say the Tain Tamatar Lebracha. Ela, im yitzarchu gshamim bibat hachamam, mipesach ve'elach, if they need rain in the summer months, which is really their winter months, yishalu b'shamei tefillah, they should just add it in their own personal davening. Hanira lania dati hatzair chaim shabtai. This is from Chaim Shabtai, he's one of the early Achronim. So it's kind of pulled between these two considerations. On the one hand, he doesn't want to advise them to ask for rain when it's not needed, so he doesn't want them to start, you know, asking as though they were in Israel and ask for rain when it's the summer for them. But on the other hand, he doesn't want to advise them to ask for rain outside the times prescribed in the Gemara. So he's kind of stuck in this hard place. And his solution is, okay, just never say it. And only add it in your own personal tefillah. If we think about Rebbe's advice to Ninbe, this is kind of similar, where in Ninveh's case, they were actually just Yechidim, they were a small community. But there, Ninveh needed the rain during the times that that Israel needed it. So he said, okay, you can ask for rain there, But in those extra times where only you need it and Israel doesn't, then you should add your own personal tefillah. But here, it's totally opposite. So we're left with never asking for it. Brazil is left with never being able to ask for rain officially, and only being able to ever ask for it in their personal tefillah. So this is kind of like these psakim, these rulings, are kind of getting more and more extreme as we see the dissonance between what the Gemara said and how we are trying to apply that to these communities. So let's look at the next source. This is Rav Shmuel Vazna from the previous century. And he is addressing the Southern Hemisphere in general. Heyach yaleh al adat, how could it possibly be true, sheyakum bar Yisrael, that a Jew would get up, la'amad v'tfilah lefanav yibarach, but to get up and daven before Hashem, v'yazkir v'yish'al mimeno, and to ask Hashem, mamash al hefech ha'anat, v'ateva asher kava b'chakakku l'chatzi ha'olam hazeh, to ask for rain in precisely the opposite time that he set those seasons for half the world, basically half the globe, has reversed seasons from Israel. Sav hadavar hakol nishma, at the end of the day, dothi kol hamuvar pashut, the tashvei Australia, Argentina, Brazil, v'chayotze v'hem, so all these southern hemisphere nations, hayashvim b'drum kador ha'aretz, which are in the southern hemisphere, kol sha'acharech v'akaitz mitchalef etzlam, mamash mishar kol alam, with the flip seasons that they have, and they have their own specific need for rain, for example, in the winter. They have to ask for rain specifically in their winter. This is his opinion. From Nisan to Tishrei, the opposite of how Israel does. And they should stop asking for it when they don't need it anymore. And this is kind of the kicker. What I see here is like an interesting, like a very striking way to make the argument. Anyone who deviates from this, this is like someone who deviates from the way that Chazal instituted tefillah, or phrase the tefillah that they're meant to say. So this phrase I find quite striking, because usually, if you heard this phrase in isolation, without the context, anyone who deviates from this is like someone who deviates from what the Chachamim, from how the Chachamim taught us to daven. You would think that they're arguing that we should preserve the existing minhag, and preserve the existing dates of the 7th of Bar Cheshvan, or Shishim B'Tkufa, and not change from that. But here, it's the opposite. Sheir HaLevi takes for granted that the principle behind all those dates, behind the dates of Seventh Rosh Cheshvan, etc., was to daven when you need rain. And that was the phraseology that the Chachamim came up with. And deviating from that is what he calls someone who deviates from Matbe'a Shetivu Chachamim. It's a common phrase in the Gemara, and that's how it's commonly used in the Gemara as well. We would have thought changing the particular wording of Chazal. So here we have the Sheva Levi pushing back against the general trend, which is, no, we're not going to change things here, we're just going to stick with Babel's dates. And using his own argument of, clearly this is the principle, like, guys, come on. If you change from this, the reasoning that Chazal used when they came up with these dates, that's a deviation from the minhag. So, Lemaiseh, halakha ma'aseh, like, what do we actually do? I grew up learning that we daven, so I who lived in Australia, grew up learning that we daven like Babel states. So, like, the Northern Hemisphere, Shishim B'Tkufa, December 4th or 5th, depending on if it's a leap year. And the consensus in halakha is that the Rosh, who had this tirade, this kind of crusade across Europe, was not accepted. And this kind of landed me in a funny situation where at school, in my kind of sleep-addled brain, when I'm trying to remember which one do we say at this point, like, what do I say here in the second bracha, I would kind of think, okay, what's the weather outside? All right, just say the opposite of that. Like, that'd be my thought process in davening. So the way my teachers explained it, which I haven't actually found a source for this, other than my grade 5 Mara, which is that we're davening for Israel, basically, as you mentioned. What was your name, sorry?
Ruth.
As Ruth mentioned. And that we're davening for Israel, and that's the reasoning behind Australia's practice, which really doesn't make sense because we're not even using Israel's dates. We're using Babel's dates. So that didn't line up either. So one source that I did find that backs this up is the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who suggests that perhaps, you know, he came to the same conclusion that we should daven according to Babel, even in Australia. And he suggested that we're really davening for the broader Jewish community, what he calls the Ikar of the Jewish community, which both in population and both in Jewish life is obviously centered in the Northern Hemisphere. You have Israel, which for obvious reasons is the center of Jewish life, and you have America and Europe, like flourishing, very important sources of Jewish life. Okay, so we'll make some broader observations now on like what this means for us and what a trend like this, how a halakhic history like this, you know, what it could say for our own practice. If you look at source 9, Rabbi Emanuel Jacobovitz, who was a previous chief rabbi of the UK before Rabbi Sacks, so he wrote this article in Tradition. He was reviewing some other halakhic literature on this topic. According to this view, therefore, the enactment is mainly of a symbolic character, unrelated to the variations of climate and agricultural needs in particular localities. He goes on to say, once we assume, then, that the public prayer for rain is a mainly symbolic token in which all Jews join together at only two alternative times for those inside and outside of Israel, it follows that even those living in the Southern Hemisphere, where the seasons are reversed, should unite in prayer with their fellow Jews elsewhere in the prayer for rain. So you could look at the first paragraph here. The enactment is mainly of a symbolic character. Now this, if you could remember, you know, 30 minutes ago, it's a huge change away from how we were reading and understanding She'elah Gashemim, which was an actual prayer for what we need. And here we have to kind of accept that it's really just symbolic these days. In places where Jews live, that there are many of them who live in the Southern Hemisphere, live outside of Babel and those rainfall patterns, there's not much to connect with there. A few kind of takeaways from this kind of the story of how this halacha developed. Firstly, things aren't really always as they seem when it comes to a clash in tradition and change. So the debate among these paskim as to whether to adopt these new dates, whether to adopt individual dates for the communities, goes way beyond, you know, let's stick with the tradition, let's not change anything, versus no, let's change things. We're in modern times now. It's a lot more nuanced than that. You know, the rush and the Shevet Alevi, who we saw as big proponents of this make your own minhag, start your own dates, they sincerely believed in the essence, that the essence of the tradition was accuracy in tefillah. We could see those values coming through. And praying what you actually need at the time. So it was that tradition that they were trying to preserve. So on face value, when things kind of seem like a pull between tradition and modernity, sometimes if we look behind the reasons for those who are advocating for quote-unquote modernity, we could see that they actually do have sincerely held beliefs and their own traditions, which they're trying to maintain. And then on the individual level, I hope this kind of dive into the halakhic history here gives you a new way to relate to these additions to our davening. It could be hard when a practice or a minhag loses what seems to be its original purpose, as we've seen. It could feel kind of like the minhag lost all its meaning. But I hope going through all these sources today gave you the fuller picture of just how complicated it is to make these decisions and all the important values that these paskim and communities grappled with in order to get to the halacha that we have today. Yeah, sorry, do you have a question? So you're saying now there's more of a reason to focus on Israel and focus on the Northern Hemisphere.
Right. Yeah. If we're taking it as not community-based.
Right, I agree. Yeah, no, it's a fair point. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If anybody's interested in the you say something like Geshem, and then like the next day, it actually starts to rain. You feel the tefillah differently when you're there.
Yeah, no, that's very important, yeah. And conversely, when you're saying it, you know, in the summer, it feels a little different. But yeah. Thank you. Any other questions? Feel free to come up privately and ask questions also.
But
yeah. Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much for that. Okay. So even the original sources, the Mishnayot, were they were later than the ancient Knesset Hagdalah. You could kind of wonder when how these Tanaim came up with their opinions. You know, how old their traditions and their knowledge last. I assume it's kind of the same answer as usual. You know, either they had halacha on Moshe Sinai, their kind of sources for these dates was from way back, but kind of regardless, we're looking at like principles or why or like the nature of their. Did that answer your question? Or
doesn't he